Welcome to Listen 2. This is Ted. The news was published on Tuesday, September 24th. Joining me today are Eric and Kate to discuss a pressing health issue. Today we're discussing the alarming rise in myopia among children and teenagers worldwide. A recent study suggests that by 2050, over 740 million young people will be affected. Let's dive into the details. Eric, what are the key findings of this research?
Well, Ted, the numbers are pretty eye-opening, if you'll pardon the pun. The study shows a dramatic increase in myopia over the last 30 years. We're looking at a jump from 24% prevalence in the 1990s to 36% in the early 2020s. That's a significant rise, and it's projected to hit 40% by 2050. It's like we're witnessing a myopia explosion.
While those numbers are concerning, we need to consider the positive aspects. This increase in awareness means we can take action now to prevent further escalation.
Action is necessary, but let's not downplay the severity. We're talking about 740 million cases by 2050, up from 600 million in 2030. That's a massive public health concern. We can't just brush this under the rug and hope.
But it's not a hopeless situation. The study also points out that lifestyle changes can make a difference. We should focus on solutions rather than just the problem. There's plenty we can do to turn this ship.
Now let's clarify some terms. Kate, can you explain what myopia actually is?
Certainly. Myopia, or short-sightedness, is an eye condition where people can't see distant objects clearly. It's like having a permanent pair of reverse binoculars stuck to your face. It typically starts in childhood and often worsens with age, kind of like a bad habit that grows with you.
That's correct, but it's important to note that myopia isn't just about needing glasses. It can lead to more serious eye problems later in life if left unchecked. We're talking potential retinal detachment, glaucoma.
Well, that's true. And even modern treatments like glasses and contact lenses make it very manageable for most people. It's not like we're living in the dark ages of eye care. We've got solutions that can be.
Management is one thing, prevention is another. The study suggests that urban living and increased screen time are risk factors. We need to address these root causes. It's like trying to mop up a flooded bathroom.
But urban living also brings benefits like better access to healthcare. We shouldn't demonize progress. It's not about going back to some idealized rural past, it's about making our current lifestyle.
Let's look at this issue in a historical context. Eric, can you think of a similar health trend from the past that we can learn from?
Absolutely. This reminds me of the obesity epidemic that began in the late 20th century. In the 1980s, obesity rates started climbing dramatically, especially among children. By 2016, nearly 40% of adults worldwide were overweight or obese. It's like deja vu, but with eyeballs instead of waistlines.
That's an interesting comparison. But I'm not sure it's entirely relevant. Obesity has clear links to diet and exercise, while myopia is more complex. We can't just.
The relevance is in the rapid increase and the lifestyle factors involved. Like myopia, obesity is influenced by urban living, reduced physical activity, and increased screen time. It's all part of the same modern lifestyle puzzle.
But we've made progress with obesity through education and policy changes. We can do the same with myopia without causing unnecessary panic. It's about smart intervention.
Interesting
not
parallel.
Fear-mongering.
Kate, do you see any lessons we can apply from the obesity epidemic to this myopia trend?
Well, one positive lesson is that public awareness campaigns can be effective. We've seen improvements in childhood obesity rates in some countries due to these efforts. It's like we've managed to turn the tide a bit. With myopia, we could launch similar campaigns promoting eye health and outdoor activities. It's not rocket science, it's about making small, sustainable changes.
That's true, but let's not forget that obesity is still a major problem globally. We need to act faster and more decisively with myopia to avoid a similar long-term crisis. We can't afford to
be complacent we need to act, but we should focus on positive changes like promoting outdoor activities, not just fear-mongering about screen time. Kids aren't going to put down their phones just because we tell them it's bad for their eyes.
It's not fear-mongering to acknowledge that the study found higher myopia rates in urban areas and linked it to increased screen time. We need to address these factors head-on, ignoring the reality.
But urban areas also often have better healthcare systems. We should leverage these advantages rather than seeing urbanization as purely negative. It's about working with what we've got, not trying to turn back the
clock. Let's look to the future. Eric, how do you see this myopia trend unfolding if we don't take significant action?
Without intervention, we're looking at a potential crisis. By 2050, 40% of young people could be myopic. That's nearly half of all kids and teens. This could lead to increased rates of more severe eye conditions, straining healthcare systems, and impacting quality of life for millions. It's like we're setting up a time bomb for future generations.
That's an overly pessimistic view. We're already seeing increased awareness and research into myopia prevention. I believe we'll see a slowdown in the trend as these efforts take effect.
Awareness isn't enough. We need concrete policy changes like limiting screen time in schools and promoting outdoor activities. Without these, the trend will continue unabated. We can't just cross our fingers.
But we're already seeing progress. Many schools are implementing outdoor programs and screen time limits. These changes will have a positive impact over time. It's not like we're sitting on our hands doing nothing.
Interesting perspectives. Kate, if we do take significant action, what's your vision for how this situation could improve?
With proper education and policy changes, we could see a reversal of the trend. Increased outdoor time, better urban planning with more green spaces, and responsible device use could lead to a decrease in myopia rates. It's like giving our eyes a breath of fresh air. We could create a world where kids are encouraged to look up from their screens and explore the world around them.
That's an overly optimistic view. Even with these changes, we're still facing an uphill battle against increasing urbanization and technology use. We need more drastic measures. We can't just hope that a few
drastic measures often backfire. Gradual, sustainable changes are more likely to succeed. We should focus on making eye-friendly lifestyles appealing and accessible. It's about creating a culture that values eye health, not imposing strict rules
but
that people will
But time
just...
is of the essence. The study shows a sharp increase after 2020, possibly due to the pandemic. We can't afford a gradual approach when the problem is accelerating. Every day we delay,
the pandemic was an exceptional circumstance. As we return to normal, we have an opportunity to implement positive changes without resorting to extreme measures. It's about finding that sweet spot between action.
Thank you, Eric and Kate, for this enlightening discussion. It's clear that myopia is a complex issue that requires careful consideration and balanced action. As we wrap up, I encourage our listeners to think about their own eye health and that of their children. Remember, small changes can make a big difference. Until next time, this is Ted from Listen2, signing off.